Good morning.
This morning we're going to cover 1 John the 3rd chapter, verses 13 through 25. Verses 13 through 14 we will cover, we know we are alive because of the love we share with God and his people. Verses 15, we'll look at anyone who hates his brother or sister won't live with God. Verses 16, Jesus died for us so that we could die for one another. Verses 17 through 19, if your brother or sister is in need, we should be willing to aid them. Let's show our love with actions and words. When we do this, we could rest in the presence of God. Verses 20 through 23, if our minds condemn us, God is greater than our condemnation. And finally, verse 24, when we keep God's commands, then we know that he lives in us. Let us bow. Dear God in heaven, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for the brotherly love we have, but most of all, thank you for the love that you give us. It's in Jesus' name we ask these blessings to continue to bless us and guide us. Amen. This morning, if you will, walk with me through these verses, and then we'll do what I'm going to do, and then we'll be through. Okay? I know y'all sitting there going, what is he going to do? Verse 13 and 14, please, Keith.
Be surprised.
Winnie?
Do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other.
See, we should not be surprised that the world is going to hate us. We talked this morning about Jesus dealing with the Pharisees and how they hated and intended on killing him. Jesus said, you know, if they try to do this to me as your leader, think what they're going to try to do to you. He said, they try to kill me, they're going to try to kill you. They hate me, they're going to hate you.
Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him.
Anyone who hates his brother or sister remains in death. Now, we have been brought from death to life in the person of Christ Jesus. But it's not just a transformation of our being, but it's also a transformation of attitudes and hearts. He said, if we hate our brother, then we are like a murderer. Now, I've heard this before. Many people said, I'm not a bad person. I don't go around killing people. You know, we say that. But here God equates hatred of your brother and sister to murder. And he says, if anyone who hates his brother or sister, if he hates them, he says, you are a murderer, and life does not reside in you. Keep reading, preacher.
This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters.
Now, Jesus Christ laid down his life, or he gave us the example. He showed us how to love. He gave us the picture of what the scriptures were talking about. If you go look at the Ten Commandments in Exodus, the 20th chapter, the first four commandments of the ten deals with man's responsibility to God. And the last six deals with man's responsibility toward one another. But Jesus clarifies this in Mark 12 in the Gospels when he says, you should love God first with all your heart, strength, soul, and mind. Then love your neighbor as yourself. In the Gospels, he said, all the law, verse 10, and the prophets, major and minor prophets, are summed up in this, that you love God and then love your fellow man. Love them. So if we love God, then we will see, if we love God, then the world will see the picture of Christ in the church. When the Bible talks, when Jesus is speaking in John, Jesus said, they will know you how? by the way you worship on Sunday. They will know you how by how much money you put in collection. They will know you how by how well you know Scripture. He said, how will the world know you? Because, see, the world doesn't come to church. The world doesn't believe in the Bible. But God has put a distinction between us and the world, and the world will be able to see the distinction of his people. How is it when we show love for one another? See, God is calling us to be a family first before we go out and try to save people who are out here. You know, how many of you ever want to invite somebody to your home when it's junky? The person who's cooking the food can't cook. You know, your house, somebody raise their hands. You don't want to bring people to your house when that's going on. And the same thing with church. When we invite people to church and people sitting here, we singing the song, send the light, the blessed God. And they sit there and go, send the light, the blessed gospel light, when this preacher gonna sit down. You see what I'm saying? God wants us to be a house, a home first. So how the world gonna know us when we show love for one another? You know, I don't want to step over my brothers and sisters in Christ and go help somebody out here when my own family member is suffering. Now, I'm not trying to neglect them by any shape, form, or fashion. But Jesus is telling, he said, as much as lies within you, he said, get along with everybody, especially those of the household of faith. God is calling us a family, Ephesians 3, 14 and 15. Therefore, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. God wants us to be a family first. When you look into the families, God tells a husband to love his wife. Huh? Y'all know where I'm going with this. Come on. How wise would it be for my wife to be walking up to a door and she have a baby chair, a baby thing in her hand, the baby in it, the baby bag and stuff, and she walking like this, and I walk right past her and see another woman whose hands are free, and I open the door for her? Huh? Come on, y'all. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to get the direction of the love. It has a progression. When Jesus brought the gospel, who did he bring it to first? Not the Gentile, the Jews. So where does love go? Our love is supposed to start here. I'm supposed to love you first. Not you only. But my love extends to you first. Why? Because when the world looks into the church, why are they going to want to be a part of something that is broken itself? I hated that. It was in the 80s, I believe, and 90s where I recognized it, where churches were splitting. Splitting churches. Oh, and people bounce around. I don't like that preacher. I don't like those elders. I don't like what they're doing. And they go up to this church right across the street. And they just start bouncing around because they don't like something at their church. What does that look like? It doesn't look like love. Love is something that makes you hold on, even in the times of need. Now, I'm not saying that leaving the one church to go to another is bad. I'm not saying that. But y'all know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about the folks, I just don't like this. I'm going to go. I don't like how they do this, so I'm going to go. That's who I'm talking about. People who are not standing here, who are holding on and showing the love of the brethren. Now, how do we do this? Jesus gave us the example. He showed us by dying on the cross for the world. But notice who it was for. John 3:16 says what? For God so loved who? The whole thing. Why? That he may get just a few of them. Go back and read it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. For what purpose? That whosoever shrunk the number. The world, he died for everybody. But who is it going to benefit? The church. That whosoever. What's the point? My point is, sometimes we'll step over our own brother or sister and we go out here and do all this great stuff for everybody else. I talked about this in the class sometime. I said, you know, a man go to work. He goes to work and man, he get to work, he's on it. He's the man at work. She's the woman at work. They know how to solve problems. They know how to do all this stuff. They do all this great stuff at the job. Then they come home, can't even get along with their spouse. Oh, somebody else on the job, young lady, hi, girl, how you doing? She mess up, oh, that's okay. She say something stupid, oh, girl, you crazy. Let his wife go, well, what do you think? I don't know. Superman on the job. Stupid man at home. The love of God has to penetrate us. It has to penetrate us. Y'all see what I'm saying? Our gifts, our talents. Man, some people are very good away from this church. And I'm not pounding on people. I'm just saying, God is calling our gifts, man. We have a lot of gifts. Come to church. We're looking for Sunday school teachers. Please. We're looking for people to do this. Please. You know what I'm saying? God wants us to bring your gifts to the family. Bring your power to the family. Love the family. Bring the love here. Bring the understanding here. Some people are great communicators over here. Come to the church. One thing go bad. Yeah, I know what you mean. And start gossiping. He said, bring, Jesus gave us an example about loving. He said, love the brothers. Keep reading, preacher.
If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person?
Man, there are people who are hurt. And you know there's a thing called mercy. The Bible says in Micah, the 6th chapter, he says, what does God require of you, old man? He said that you love mercy, live justly, and walk humbly before your God. These three things. He said, love mercy. Why? Because that's a characteristic of God that he used on you. Sometimes you don't know and understand mercy until you realize it's been applied to you. But what is mercy and when do you show it? You know, we do benevolence. Man, you know, I realized benevolence doesn't always go to the right needy. You know, every now and then, we are that sheep. Come down here. Y'all looking at me funny. Every now and then, you're that sheep that has gone astray. You are that coin that was lost, and it's you. And you don't realize it's you. Man, until God come and find you, it is that mercy that God is looking for. And he wants us to display, man, Jason, you told me to stay away from those drugs. And man, I'm fighting it. I'm trying. I really am trying. Please forgive me. No, this is my fifth time. We used to say this thing at Southwestern, You done tore your last pair of drawers. Remember that? You only get so much. But what did Jesus tell Peter? Peter said, should we forgive him 7 times 7? What did Jesus reply? Jesus did what was called hyperbole. He exaggerated. He said, not to 7 times, till 70 times 7. That's what, 490? Is that what it is? Well, all you math people, figure it out. If I'm wrong, just guess. Just smile. But here's the point. Jesus is not giving a limit on forgiveness. When we struggle, I need that mercy because sometimes, man, I'm that sheep. You told me to stay here, Mr. Shepherd. You told me what to do. I didn't listen. You told me to be still, and you turned your head, and I was the one that snuck off. I'm that man. But I'm out here, and I'm lost. Yes, it's my fault. Yes, I'm wrong. Yes, I made my bed, and yes, it's time for me to lay in it, but here come my shepherd. Larry. That's what I need. But not only me, you. When you do it to me, and that's hard. Y'all know that. Y'all saw that court case. Y'all saw that court case about that woman who, that police officer who shot that man in his house. And at that court case, that man's brother, that boy stood up. A member of the Church of Christ, Dallas West, is it? Dallas West Church of Christ. That boy stood up. He said, Lord, get me through this thing. He said, I forgive you. And he said, I pray that you find God. And he said, can I hug her? Man, that's the love that if we could put in this church every day, that's what people are looking for. People don't care what you do in your church building on Sunday. They don't care. People don't care if you have instrumental music or not. That's a religious thing. That's church people fuss over that. People in the world, they don't care. You could have a horn, a flute, a toot, and anything else. Is it working? Don't try to sell me something that you're not even eating yourself. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And, oh, I like to beat people over the head with it. I like to beat them up. Oh, you're going to the wrong church. Boom, you're in the wrong religion. Boom, you're in the wrong. You're an atheist. You don't believe. Boom, let's beat them up.
No. Love.
Man, I'll tell you something. Love is good. Ooh, love is sweet. And in a church, in unity, when you put it together and you work together, oh, ooh, there's nothing we can do. There's nothing that we can't do. If we love. I'm not going to finish that because I want to do something, but I want to do this, and I know, and I'm saying this because I'm kind of building up because I don't want anybody to get mad at me because people complained about it before. Wes, guard the door. I want to have a love feast. And in this love feast, I want us not to get crazy, but it's going to be like the old one. And it's just this one time. I know some of you looking at me already like, ugh. This is one time. We're going to do it. And I pray that you do not just sit there and rebel. Y'all, I'm not going to do it. But what are you doing? You're just going to tell everybody you love them. Just say, I love you. Just say, I love you. This one time. And then I won't have the love feast again until next week. But the point is, no. But I want to do it because I haven't done it in a while, but I think there's somebody who you may touch today whose loved one might have passed, whose loved one might be in jail, whose loved one might be struggling with homosexuality or something and they don't know what to do, who may be struggling with drugs, whose marriage may be in trouble, And if they can just hear somebody say, I love you. Because what separates us is love. It's not a whole bunch of verses, it's love. I went to a place to preach and somebody came in. Every time I go, people always come to me and say, can you come preach for us? This is one church I went to. The guy is not a great speaker. I heard, I'm not trying to judge him, just everybody said he's not a great speaker. I said, but why is he still here? They said, because every hospital visit, he's there. Because every time someone's sick, he's there. Because when someone has a problem, he's there. When someone needs to cheer up, he's there. When someone needs a smile, he's there. That man will be preaching there till he's dead. They'll be like, they won't let him go. That's what it's all about. Man, it's not about how well you project scriptures out of your mouth from a pulpit, because they mean nothing if when I'm really in need and I need them explained, I'm nowhere to be found. They mean nothing. Let's touch somebody. And I'm going to bring us back with a song, and then we'll do the invitation. This is one time. So what I'm asking y'all is to forgive me. Wes, guard the door. Forgive me and love me. And this one time, everybody just get up and just say, I love you to somebody. Okay? Love feast. Jesus Christ loves us. The Bible said he came down on this earth. He lived. He died. But he rose again the third day, according to the scripture. He did that for us because he loved us. And the Bible says that his love is so big, we can't even understand it. So let's remember this. And when we do this, a lot of anger, a lot of frustration. I'm learning that there's a lot of Christians who are bitter. They are bitter because life had happened and they never was able to give it up. They was never able to properly turn it over to God. And they are bitter. Or some Christians were raised in this strict, you don't do it this way, then you're wrong, and la, 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 la. And they beat people up, and they don't have fun with God because they're so caught up in this regiment. And they forget the first thing about God is love. God is love. They forget that. And so when they go on to this journey of, I owe, it's off the church I go, you know, and they miss that God said, I don't call you servants anymore. But friends, let's not forget that. Let's not forget, I can't love God who I haven't seen and then hate you who I see every day. Can't happen. So if you are a Christian, continue to love God. But if you fail in that and you stumbled in that, you could come forward and ask for prayer if you want. Or if you're not a Christian and you don't know what to do to become a Christian, you wonder, what's this Christianity all about? Well, the Bible says in Romans, all have sinned and come short of God's glory. We all sin. We come short, every single person. And God cannot accept sin into heaven, so he sent Jesus Christ down because you and I couldn't do it. And when he sent Jesus down, Jesus, first of all, came. He put on flesh. The Bible said he became sin that we may become the righteousness of God. And then the Bible says he walked perfectly as a human without sin in this body. But that fateful day came to where he gave his life on the cross, a sacrifice. Why? Because you sin. Because I sin. And he did it because he loved us. And he says, I don't want anything back from you except you. When he died on the cross, they buried him. Why? Because he really died. And when he died, one day he woke up early one Sunday morning. And when he woke up, he says, I love you. Everything that was against me was put in that grave. But when he woke out, when he walked out, just he and he alone, Christ risen, justified, crucified, he came out, God over the living and the dead. And he says, I love you. But God, but I love you. But God, what if I love you. Everything we have to ask God, the answer starts with, I love you. Don't punish yourself anymore. If you're not a Christian, God wants to wash you clean, get that sin away from you, to justify you, to sanctify you. Well, how does that happen? You know the gospel of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. I just said that. He died for you and me. But he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scripture. And because of that, now we can respond to that by hearing this message that you just heard and believing it. Do you believe it? If you believe it, then the Bible says to confess him. Matthew 10:32 says, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven. Then he says, repent and be baptized. Repentance is turning to God. And being baptized is being washed in his blood, filled with his spirit, added to his family, the church. If you want that, God is calling you right now in a loving voice, come home. Amen.